to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely tremendous day today. Good news, I just saw this a few minutes ago. A landmark federal lawsuit went to trial this week in California that is aiming to change the longstanding practice of adding fluoride to the drinking water supply of Americans. The lawsuit brought against the EPA by groups including the Fluoride Action Network, Food and Water Watch, and Moms Against Fluoridation are basically going to trial now in the suit, claiming that fluoridated water represents an unreasonable risk to public health and can harm developing brain of young children and babies. Renowned public health expert Dr. Philippe Grangi from Harvard has also raised concerns and apparently will be testifying as well. This is very big. This is one of the first times a fluoridated water case in the aspect of the dangers of fluoride being added to the water supply, which, by the way, if you guys don't know, it was added in the late 40s, right after World War II. Fluoride is unbelievably toxic to the human body. It's a neurotoxin. There is absolutely zero benefit that has ever been scientifically proven. There have been a couple very minor research studies that came out years ago, I mean years and years, decades ago, that tried to prove that fluoride prevented tooth decay. However, if you actually read the research, and I think we have some post up on our website, the manipulation of the research was so blatant, but yet it didn't matter. They still justified adding it when they even admit that too much fluoride, even the CDC admits too much fluoride causes dental fluorosis, which actually causes the teeth to get white spots, decay, rot, and fall apart. So why in the world would you ever add this to the water? Well, it's simple. Fluoride's a neurotoxin. It calcifies the pineal glands, and it basically makes you more servile and susceptible to a lot of psychological operations. And that is not conjecture, conspiracy theory. That has been facts, including showing that fluoride can lower IQ points. So I'm very excited to see how this goes. The fact that it's going to trial is very good as long as the jury does not get stacked against them. But we will see how this goes. I just wanted to open up with that because I was very excited to see something against fluoride actually making some movement and progress, Dan.
You know, Austin, I have discussed this since 1981 in depth. Fluoride is a rat poison. It is a neurological toxin. It causes massive degradation of dendrites in the brain. It causes the brain basically to just, it kills brain cells. It's one of the most toxic ingredients known to man. It's the active component, fluorine gas is the active component of sarin nerve gas. You can't make this stuff up. And you think, what the heck? I mean, so this is what happened in the concentration camps. They had to get the inmates, the slave labor, to basically not reproduce and be servile, do what they're told. And you know, I talked about this yesterday about how some of these people got lined up in these ditches and got shot. They were probably massively overdosed on fluoride. And it's just a brain destroyer is what it is. Massively lowers IQ points in children if their mothers are using fluoride while they're pregnant, or if their children are given formula with fluoride water. I mean, it's been proven. These studies come out of Harvard, for heaven's sakes. And so finally, the people now, after what, 70 years? 70 years, you know, 75 years, almost a century in this country of dumbing everybody down, are finally coming up and saying, hey, we're going to have this in the courts, but they'll have some other thing that'll happen. It's like Roundup. Roundup is still out there. You know, it didn't get taken off the shelf, though now we know what causes cancer. So you'll buy it at your local hardware store. I mean, people are still using Roundup and spraying it on their plants. I mean, if you want to kill a plant, spray it with some bleach. If you don't care about the soil around it, put some salt on it. But don't spray it with Roundup. I mean, it's bad. Glyphosate, we know that it's a neurological toxin also, and it's been linked to like 15 different types of diseases and cancers. I mean, it's a bad product, but again, it's still on the market, just like they're not going to take fluoride out of the water supply because they'll have enough of their top scientists will come up and let you tell you what's going to happen in advance in case you go back and say that Ted was right about this. They're going to bring a bunch of counter opinions, counter research, and top PhD experts from all over the world to say how good fluoride is for you, how it stops tooth decay, and how it does this and how it does that. They're going to come out and say all of this stuff, and they'll leave it on the water. And then all the local municipalities will have to try to lawsuit it, which they don't have the resolve or the money to do that. It's just a major problem that we've had now for over 70 years in the United States, and it's not going to go away. Yesterday, I got my teeth cleaned. speaking about a little personal stuff here, and I didn't realize now that the dentists have also got their little monopoly going, and they've petitioned the state of Florida here in Florida that if you go to a dentist, you are automatically required to have x-rays once a year and have an exam done before you have your teeth cleaned. Now, that's kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, just get your teeth cleaned. Why do you want to expose yourself to all this radiation all the time? And why do you want to have to pay for an exam if you don't want to pay for an exam? And so, you know, normal tooth cleaning, I remember when I was a kid, it was $25. You know, you go and get your teeth cleaned, leave. There weren't any x-rays unless you requested them. They didn't give you fluoride treatments unless you requested it or you told them not to. I mean, now it's basically, I was talking to the dentist yesterday, and she goes, well, we have six different types of tooth cleanings. I'm like, what? Now, nobody disclosed this to me on the telephone when I made the appointment to get my teeth cleaned. And it was supposed to be about, I thought it was going to be like $100, which is whatever. Still too high, but whatever. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, no, it's $113 now. I said, okay, it's $113. Great. I'll be there. So they scheduled the appointment right away. And then they said, oh, by the way, we have to charge you for an exam. I'm like, okay, well, you know, what's that? It was $70 or $60 or whatever. And I said, well, whatever. Do I have to do that? Yeah, you have to do that. And they said, oh, and you have to do x-rays. And I'm like, what? It was, you know, $260 for tooth cleaning. And I'm like, what the heck? So I get in there to get the teeth cleaned. And all of a sudden they say, oh, by the way, you don't need this cleaning number one. There's six different. Now, this is the dentist, the new dentist working there. The old dentist is really a nice guy. I really like him. This is the new dentist. She goes, we have six different types of teeth cleaning. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. This wasn't disclosed to me. And basically, you don't qualify for this one. You have to qualify for a different, another one. We have to reschedule you to come in and do this other type of tooth cleaning. It's another $270. Okay, now I'm going to be over $500 to have my teeth cleaned. I'm not joking, guys. It happened to me yesterday. And again, American Dental Association, which, by the way, is super pro-fluoride, petitioned the state of Florida to require x-rays, require a doctor's visit as far as a doctor's checkup. He said, just to get your teeth cleaned, you got to do all this. So yesterday I was talking to Steve, and Steve and I were the same age. We were in college together. Remember, we even took a couple classes together, a couple chemistry class. I think it was a chemistry. We took calculus together, two other classes. And, you know, Steve is one of my top people at the office. And I remember, you know, I told Steve yesterday, I said, how do people pay for this? Because my insurance doesn't cover dental procedures. And if you do have insurance, only covers part of it, the doctor requires you pay the balance. I said, how's this happening? He said, well, people just don't get their teeth taken care of after the age of 65 because, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, they don't cover this. I'm like, wow. And I thought about it for a second. I thought, how in the world can an organization like this, the Dental Association, be so destructive when they're supposed to be helping people with their teeth? They require these extra exams, and they want you to have fluoride, and they fight tooth and nail for the states or the municipalities who don't want the fluoride. What the world's going on with all these guys? So it's frustrating. So I probably won't go to that dentist again. I'm not going to mention any names because I really, really like the guy who owns the place. He's a great guy. But and on top of that, the other doctor that was in there, the new one, was condescending to me, talking down to me. This, he goes, well, you know, if you go to the doctor and they tell you that you have high blood pressure, you need to listen to what they say. And I'm like, she goes, don't you think that? And I said, are you asking me a question? And she goes, yes. I said, no, I don't think that at all. If you have high blood pressure, you can change your lifestyle. You have to listen to what the doctor says. Well, the doctor needs to tell you how to change your lifestyle. So that was the conversation with me. And by the way, I'm in the middle of my teeth being cleaned. They stopped the procedure in order for the doctor to come in and discuss all of this stuff with me. They didn't discuss this with me in the beginning. If they just looked at my mouth and said, oh, by the way, it won't be the $100. It's going to be $500 to clean your teeth, I'd have gone to another dentist. But this is the problem that we've run into. And this is how fluoride and all these other dogmas get entrenched into our systems. And, you know, it's ridiculous. By the way, I want you to get some note paper and pencil right now, because I'm going to also do another story, and I've got to cover a few things real quick that are going to really, really expose some stuff that you guys haven't thought about. And I've been working on this for a bit. So, Austin, what's your next story, bud?
Oh, yes, absolutely. One thing, and then I've been talking to a few people over the last couple of days, just local people here, and more people, I think, are starting to wake up, which has been very exciting to me as, you know, emails, phone calls here and there, local people when I go to places. More people now are starting to be aware of their health and what they put in their body, and more people are starting to get prepped for more long-term issues. And what I mean by that is, you know, 5-6 months ago, when the COVID reared its ugly little head in the media, and the CDC and the WHO and everybody blew it out, and they wanted everybody to be terrified and stay in your home. A lot of people weren't really awake, as far as not even from knowing what the deep state and the CIA and everything they're involved in. I mean, that's a whole nother basket of snakes you got to dig into to get that. But I'm talking just the aspect of preparedness. And one thing that COVID did do was it woke a lot of people up to being more prepared than just 2 or 3 days down the road. The issue with toilet paper, as minute and as basic as it was, I think brought a lot of truth into the conversation of, hey, maybe we should have more than a week's worth of toilet paper. That's just a topic that came up. You know, we can't find any. Okay, well, maybe you shouldn't just buy 1 3-pack at a time when you go to the store once a week. Maybe you should buy a whole pack, or maybe you should buy 2 or 3 cases when you go to Sam's and keep it up in your storage closet and have it there for 4, 5, 6, 7 months, depending on the size of your family. Well, one thing that I've seen more people doing now is storing food, which I've been extremely excited about. If you guys know me, you know I love to have preparations. I hate not being self-sufficient. I pretty much tell everybody, if you can't have the ability to stay in your property or on your home or around your property or around your neighborhood and not have to go to the store for at least 90 days, you're really not fully prepared. And that's my opinion. Anything longer than that, that's really your preference. I mean, I know people that they go, you know, oh, I got 4 or 5 years worth of food. Well, I can tell you right now, if it's to the point where everybody's trying to eat rations and food buckets and MREs 3, 4, 5 years from now, all bets are off the table. The curve as far as survivability is going to be skewed. It's going to be a crapshoot, basically. I mean, you're gambling. Let's play roulette while we're at it. And so that's why I encourage a lot of people, when all this stuff started, to make sure they stocked up on food. And I've had so many people now that have not even been really well prepared call me up and say, hey, man, do you guys have the organic food buckets? And I'm like, yeah, Jerry, I got a couple of them left. You know, we've been getting them back in stock now. We've been keeping them stockpiled up for everybody. And the reason why I tell people that is, you know, the MREs and some of the other basic food buckets, those are good. But if you're dealing with an immune system that is compromised, or you're dealing with having a virus that's out there, you got to be really careful what you're putting in your body. You know, some of the food, even I personally bought years ago when I first started prepping, I thought it was, you know, decent foods, obviously not organic anywhere near. Some of the ingredients were questionable, but then I actually ate some of it. I really did. I ate some of the stuff that I had way back, you know, 8, 9 years ago when I had gotten it. This is what kind of woke me up. And so I went a couple of days and was eating some of it, and I felt horrible. Honestly, I did. I felt horrible. My energy went horrible. My digestion went horrible. And I was like, golly, eating 2 or 3 days of this food, I feel like crap. And I'm generally very healthy, very athletic, very energetic, but I eat really clean. And so that's when it kind of woke me up to eating clean. And so when I've had people ask me, what should I store up? My question is this. If you're in that situation where you have to stockpile food and you're eating your stockpiled food, you're probably going to have to be as mobile, aggressive, and as athletic as you physically have to be, and you can be. So at that point in time, you really want to make sure you're feeding your body with healthy foods, and that's why I encourage everybody, even if you're not going to get organic food buckets, if you don't want those, whatever, at least get some organic food that you can store up. But also remember, when you get organic food, it's very difficult to keep it stored and keep it long term unless you know what you're doing. And there's other companies that I've seen, you know, they sell buckets and it's like, oh, there's a 5-pound Mylar bag of cashews and a 2-pound bag of, you know, lima beans and lentils, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's fantastic food. The issue with that as well is we've been in numerous situations and hurricanes and stuff like that. When you need to eat, you need to eat. And the problem is you don't want to have to put out a 3 or 5 course gourmet meal every time you want food. You need some food you can cook now that's going to give you good energy and is going to keep you healthy. And so to answer that question with a lot of people that have been asking me over email and phones, just kind of broadly put it, that's why I started going to the organic food buckets last year. That's why those are the only food stores that I actually carry now, and that's what I personally use. Just want to throw that out there. It's about a lot of questions, a lot of people starting to wake up now, which is exciting. And again, I encourage everybody, make sure you have some preps. Make sure you are ready. Because, I mean, I see people now, those Maryland or some other state, They're going into ransacking grocery stores. Ransacking grocery stores. I have no understanding on why you're going to go ransack your local grocery store and then the next day complain about not having any food in your neighborhood because you ransacked your grocery store. I mean, that is literally beyond the definition of stupidity. But sadly as it is, people are doing it. Now, whether or not we have provocateurs doing that, or we have CIA individuals that are being funded. Remember, I mean, the CIA has funded so many overthrows of governments throughout the entire world, and it's ironic to me that we're actually seeing almost the exact same playbook occur right now in the United States that we've seen in dozens of countries around the world. And one of our good friends, Brad, sent me this morning. I want to bring it up because I haven't talked about Gary Webb in a while. You remember Gary Webb basically nationally, I mean, testified to Congress, went all over the country, exposed how the CIA hired drug traffickers. This is in 1996, but he went all the way back to what happened in Amina, Arkansas, and so forth. And he talked about how the CIA hired drug traffickers to sell massive amounts of cocaine in the United States in order to raise untraceable amounts of money to finance terrorist organizations to overthrow the Nicaraguan government. These massive shipments of cocaine ultimately sparked the crack epidemic that we saw decimate inner cities in the 80s and 90s. As a result, mainstream media completely eviscerated Gary Webb and destroyed his career, which also destroyed his marriage. He refused to back down, and sadly, in 2004, he was found dead with two bullet wounds to his head. His death was ruled a suicide, which, sadly as it is, it seems that that was almost the Clinton calling card. Oh, he was shot in the back of the head point blank twice, and it's a suicide. And the man literally lost everything he had to give us a small glimpse of what the CIA was involved in. So remember, when you see a lot of this rioting and looting and pillaging right now, think about what we have seen in all these other countries that the exact same thing has happened before an overthrow of that country. And then you have to ask yourself, who is really behind the scenes with this, what is going on? And I'll hand it to you, Dez. I know you got a lot more to add into that.
Well, Austin, you have to look at the Central Intelligence Agency. You have to look at MI6. You've got to look at Mossad. We know the Mossad was neck deep with Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein was basically had over 1,000 people, supposedly, in his files with over a million pages of documents as far as the court case, if it had ever gone to trial, that 1,000 top elected officials and people all over the world from multiple governments were basically compromised via sex, drugs, alcohol, children. I mean, it's sick. It was all a bunch of sick stuff. But he was Mossad asset, and we see all of that. Same thing with Giselle Feingold. She was Maxwell or whatever her name was, Ghislaine Maxwell, and she was the same thing. She was basically a Mossad agent. She was a captain of a submarine. She had that license. I mean, who in the world gets to be a captain of a submarine? And also, she was like a jet pilot. I mean, this girl was heavily trained by Mossad also, and she was a top sex slave recruiter. So, I mean, it's some crazy stuff when you stop and think about it. And this is all tied together with the CIA, which used to be the OSS. And, of course, after 1947, they kind of all merged with Roswell, and they set up a secret government with a breakaway civilization, not to let us know what they discovered as far as the advanced technology from the spaceships. This is what happened in 1947, according to Colonel Corso, who basically wrote the book the day after the Roswell incident, the day after Roswell, the International Times bestseller. International best-selling New York Times bestseller. And the crazy part about all of it is, Austin, is that, you know, to this day we're still dealing with this secret government that runs things, you know, through the back burner, controlled and financed to the CIA, controlled and financed to the international banking cartels. I mean, the United States Federal Reserve now has pretty much bankrupted the United States, trying to cover over their Ponzi scheme with their illicit activities and their derivative debt. And now they're telling us, like you said earlier today, that we're going to have a second wave of the COVID coming this way, which they're going to close everything back down again, probably right before the election. And it's not going to end. It's going to go on and on and on and on and on until they completely destroy the United States, because that's their collaborative and goal. And Donald Trump this week, I got to give the boy credit now, you know, the president. I'll call him Mr. President on this one. He tweeted a letter from the Catholic Archbishop calling the coronavirus pandemic and Black Lives Matter protests a deep state Masonic plot to hurt his reelection. Now, I didn't think that he would actually say this, because I personally have said on the show, and I personally believe, that he's involved with the Masonic lodges. And I also believe that there's different types of Masons, and I believe there's different types of Masonic lodges. And I think a lot of what's going on right now is this control of these guys trying to basically run the whole planet. But this bishop for the Catholic Church, he wrote, it said, the Holy Trinity Sunday, June the 7th, 2020. Let me read you the first two paragraphs. I've got this posted on the website. In recent months, we've been witnessing the formation of two opposing sides that I will call biblical, the children of light and the children of darkness. Now, Trump posted this. The children of light constitute the most conspicuous part of humanity, while the children of darkness represent an absolute minority. And yet the former are subject of a sort of discrimination which places them in a situation of moral inferiority with respect to their adversaries who often hold strategic positions in government. He's saying about the demonic ones hold strategic positions in government, in politics, in the economy, and in the media. And in an apparently inexplicable way, the good are held hostage by the wicked and by those who help them either out of self-interest or fearfulness. These two sides, which have a biblical nature, follow the clear separation between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. I'm going to go back here real quick. The Masonic lodges at the highest levels and these benign Nephilim folks believe that Lucifer beguiled Eve and had sex with her, and they basically gave birth to Cain. I don't believe any of that stuff, okay? But this is what they believe. And so this is the offspring of the serpent. Now, it could also be said this is basically when the serpent was having sex, or these fallen angels were having sex with women in Genesis chapter 6 and creating these Nephilim. The Pope's talking about this, guys. I'm going to read it again. These two, not the Pope, this bishop. These two sides, which have a biblical nature, follow the clear separation between the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent. On the one hand, there are those who, although they have 1,000 defects and are weaknesses, are motivated by a desire to do good, to be honest, to raise a family, to engage in work, to give prosperity to their homeland, this is nationalism, by the way, to help the needy, and in obedience to the law of God, to merit the kingdom of heaven. On the other hand, there are those who serve themselves, who do not hold any moral principles, who want to demolish the family and the nation, exploit workers and make themselves unduly wealthy, foment internal divisions and wars, and accumulate power and money. For them, the facilious illusion of temporal well-being will one day, if they do not repent, yield to a terrible fate that awaits them far from God in eternal damnation. Mr. President, these two factions are openly opposing the United States of America. And guys, what we have to do is we have to take a look at what Trump's doing now. He's actually tweeted this. And again, my hat's off to him on this. I applaud him for actually putting this out. And so we just have to realize that. He goes, in society, Mr. President, these two opposing realities coexist as eternal enemies, just as God and Satan are eternal enemies. And it appears that the children of darkness, whom we may easily identify with the deep state, there we go, he just said it, which you wisely oppose and which is fiercely waging war against you in these days, have decided to show their cards, so to speak, by now revealing their plans. They seem to be certain of already having under control, and they have laid aside the circumspection that until now at least partially concealed their true intentions. And then he starts talking about, I'm going to post all of this stuff so you can go ahead and read it and take a look at all of what he's saying. But then he basically listens it to the Masonic lodges and to the Masons. You know, and I just thought, he says, to globalism, to align thought to the New World Order, which they evoke ever more frequently in the name of a which has nothing Christian about it, but which evokes the Masonic ideals of those who want to dominate the world by driving God out of the courts, out of the schools, out of the families, and perhaps even out of the churches. Now, this is absolutely an amazing letter by the Carlo Maria Vigano, the titular Archbishop of Upania, former apostolic nuncio to the United States of America. So, Trump tweeted this. So my hat's off to you, Mr. President. I have no idea what the heck's going on with why you would do this and why you would expose these guys, but I'm really, really happy you did it. Now, this past weekend, I listened to the audio tape, and I posted it on our website by John Doyle and How We Let America Die. And I'm going to quote a couple spots out of that real quick because I think it's important that we take a look at what this Archbishop is talking about and how this group has come in to destroy the United States. You know, what we have to understand is this. The American conservative movement has failed on fiscal policy, monetary policy, foreign policy, and social policy. I'm going to be loosely quoting from John Doyle, ranging from abortion, marriage, gender identity, to religious freedom and immigration policy. We have failed in education policy, gun policy. We failed pretty much on everything. Just show me one substantial and lasting victory that we've done in the conservative movement in the last 60 years and show you dozens of failures. What does it even mean? What does it mean to your freedom? Do you feel free? Or do you spend your entire day phone cycling between the same three or four apps, just bored out of your mind but trying to consume any mindless content that you can? Or how many hours every week do you spend watching Netflix? Not because you want to watch a specific broadcast, because you just want to watch something. You know, people are so bored and they're restless, and everybody's trying to get dopamine triggers because we are also frustrated that the Cloward and Piven strategy had basically overtaken America. You know, this is all from the Frankfurt School. This is all from the international banks. This is all from the communists that overthrew Russia. All of this stuff is tied together with what we see happening right now. But liberalism has lied to you about freedom. Liberalism has tricked you into the conservative movement into defending its ideas for while it progresses in the radical leftism. They're telling you that you're free and that you're basically part of the conservative movement, but they're pushing leftism all of the time. You know, here's the thing about understanding of liberty. You know, whether it's the Greco-Roman tradition with Plato, Aristotle, or Cicero, or in the Christian tradition with Augustine, Aquinas, or Dante, and these traditions are the foundation of Western civilization combined with the Bible and combined with Christianity. But, you know, the understanding was not that an individual is free from all constraints to do as they please. That definition of liberty is a very new one in world history. That is a liberal definition of liberty brought to you via the Frankfurt School, brought to you by the communists. And counterintuitively, it is that understanding of liberty as the individual's ability to do whatever they want to do without constraint, which has led to the downfall of the true liberty and Western civilization. What we have to understand is that conservatism is about freedom, liberalism about control. You know, that's the way we have to look at it. But there's a more important part. Liberalism, is, in theory, orders the society to put emphasis on the individual. And what that does in effect, as we've seen and talked about, is it degenerates and disintegrates the society and its social fabric, which in turn destabilizes society onto where we are now. In other words, a society in which you're free to chase genders, 60 or 70 different genders, be a transgender, to be gay, to be anything you want to be a sponge or a lobster tomorrow or today, it's ridiculous. But, you know, how are you going to possibly have stability in that? You can kill babies in the womb, smoke weed, you watch porn, but in turn you're also living in a surveillance state in which you need licenses and permits to be a protective member of society, and you can't refuse to bake a gay wedding cake, because if you refuse to bake a gay wedding cake, you'll infringe upon the ultimate freedom of the gay man to be free and even from the disapproval of religion or society. I mean, you can't even go to the dentist without being forced to have an exam done and x-rays done, though you don't want to be exposed to radiation. Doesn't make any difference, or force you to do it. On the other hand, because conservatives like to put their emphasis on the family and on the community, on society, and because ordering things such as, you know, these things, keeping things in order, makes society stable. But what we find is society doesn't need or want a bigger government, and it's capable of self-governing because it's filled with moral, virtuous people. That's true conservatism, and that's what's required to get the government off your back. The problem is when you take Christianity out of the mix, you end up with warlords in Seattle that are crime head guys in Seattle beating up the local people. And I want to know how these warlords that have taken over the six blocks of Seattle plan on feeding the people within the six blocks. Because remember what happened in the Soviet Union, guys? You know, when they came in and they took over East Germany, they took over East Berlin, they were digging tunnels to get out because they were starving to death. They were starving the German people to death. They were digging tunnels under the wall, getting shot to go into the West, doing everything they possibly could to get out of communism, because communism can't feed itself. Because once you tell people that everything is free and you're going to give them free everything, they stop working because they realize that whether they work or not, the outcome is the same. If you're going to make $100 a week, whether you work or you don't work, you're going to learn very, very quickly that all of the people making more money than that, giving it to you, will continue to do that until they quit working too and everything collapses. That's communism. That's Cloward and Piven. To overwhelm the country with social welfare systems until the republic collapses and communism comes in. And then they come in and they say, everybody gets a 600-square-foot house. 20 by 30 feet. You can have two children. And if you have more than two children, we're going to automatically tell you that you have to take that baby and abort it, which is what they did in China. And we're going to basically make sure that, you know, you have only X amount of children, X amount of income, X amount of living space. I walked into the tenement complexes in China where the people were forced to live. I was in them. I was in Shanghai. And they had like a black market there which sold goods and products and stuff they made in China that were overruns of American companies. And you could go in there and buy things for pennies on the dollar that were real products that weren't knockoffs. And what was interesting about this is they were in little bitty rooms like 20 by 30 feet with shelves all the way to the ceiling with a little cot in the corner where the people would sleep. And they would bring tourists in from the cruise ships and they would sell them these Chinese goods at discounted price, including DVDs and different types of shirts and clothing, etc. You're thinking, what the heck? But I was in the tenement project. I was there. No elevators. I had to walk up six flights of stairs to go to one of these things. And you get in there, and it's claustrophobic. There's literally 18 inches between the shelves. And on the far corners, there's a little hot plate and a little stove or a little cot for these guys to sleep on. That's what communism turns into. And then these little guys over there, they're trying to be capitalists, and they're trying to run stuff and have their little businesses on the side because sometimes people want to do more with their lives. And so this is where they go with this. You know, the people used to be freer in the United States, but it wasn't because the government was small. But the reason was the government was small was that the people weren't totally free. They were bound by the standards of the church and the culture. And as that disappeared, so did liberty. And then big government came to take its place. In other words, the government being small wasn't the reason we were freer. It's that we were bound to the standards of the church and our culture, our collective culture. Now think about this for a second. We have taken this collective culture and we've allowed many pastors, 90% of the pastors because of the 501c corporations, to come in now and no longer promote America and no longer promote freedom, to become politically correct, to take every man or person into the church and not require some type of transition, some type of repentance. Oh, you want to be gay? You can sit on the front row. You want to be a stripper in a bar? You can come sit on the front row. You want to be a prostitute, you can wear your prostitute outfit and come sit on the front row. We don't mind, whatever you want to do. And we're not going to require that you no longer be a prostitute or no longer be a stripper. We're going to let you sit there on the front row every day and go strip on the weekends. Okay, that's not okay. Now, I understand we can't judge people because people get into bad situations and they're stripping or they're being prostitutes, not because they want to in most cases, because they have become so desperate financially they have no choice. I mean, this is the thing we have to do as Christians. And as that, if that church wants to bring those people into the church, which they should, to get them saved, they need to put them on a path of doing what's right. Maybe somebody in the church needs to say, well, why don't we give this person a job, or, you know, get them some different clothes, or move and show them some Christian, you know, love and ideals, and let that person come to a point of repentance in their life where they don't want to live like this anymore. You know, if they're addicted to drugs, let's get them into a treatment protocol and do all the things. But they don't do that anymore. They let them sit and do whatever they want to do in the churches, and they don't give them any type of reason to repent. They don't teach the true word of God. They teach a watered-down version of the Gospels. Whether or not they even teach the real Jesus and Christ crucified is sometimes up for speculation. And this is why the people in the United States have lost that moral compass, the church and the culture. And then we've imported millions of people from the third world. And their cultures are very different than ours. Most people from South America are born under communist, socialist regimes. And they don't come over here into the United States because they want to become Americans. They come over here because they want to manipulate the system and get welfare or have different, you know, jobs and make more money than they were in their own countries. And then they have this horrible form of government they have down there, which they're eating out of trash dumps. But they want to come to the United States, and they want to stand against our First Amendment, stand against our Second Amendment. They want to overwhelmingly vote for Democrats to turn our country into the same hellhole they came from. And this is what they do. And it's a crazy thing. And it's like it's bred in them from a cultural standpoint. And I'm not talking about any specific race. I'm talking about people that come from third world countries have a tendency to want to create that country over again where they go instead of being integrated into the American culture. The problem is we no longer have a true American culture. Why is that? Because we've allowed our culture to be completely and totally dissipated because of Cloward and Piven, because of the big banks, because of the Federal Reserve Bank, because of the pornography, because of all this stuff. You know, and the answer to that question used to be and should be the freedom of basically what it is freedom as a means to an end of serving God and your family. This was a time before we began to outsource the installation of virtue in our children to the Department of Education. So we have to go back to freedom again. Why have we lost freedom? Because we have outsourced the installation of virtue in our children to the Department of Education. This was a time where it was the role of the family to instill the virtue and morals of the society onto the children in order to propagate the culture. And I'm going to repeat that. When we used to teach our children to do what was right, and we took them to church, and we prayed with them on a regular basis, we taught them to go to work, to be there on time, to pay their bills, and to do what the Word of God says, realize that God was watching you. This was a time where it was the role of the family to instill the virtues and the morals of our society into the children in order to propagate the culture. And the way to make it as easy as possible for families to do that is to get the government out of their pocket and basically stay in the true church and the Bible and in the Word of God. That's the easiest way it is to do it. But this Cloward and Piven strategy basically says, let's go ahead and make the government as big as we possibly can, put as many social welfare programs in, so we no longer need the family. We no longer need the church. We no longer need to teach the children virtue. We can teach them to use drugs. We can teach them that they can be a sponge or a transgender or 67 different types of sexes. This is what they wanted to do. You know, our government and now the current culture we're in, because of what Hollywood's done, has increasingly made it more difficult to get a well-paying job without amassing tens of thousands of dollars in debt, to find a moral spouse. And I talk to these kids that are dating. They don't know what to do with that. To buy property, to raise a family. Heck, to even get your teeth cleaned. Okay? But you're free because you can buy a gun, you can watch porn. What? Is that why your grandfather watched his friends get mauled to death by MG-42s in Europe? So that our grandchildren could inherit a country that the children are taught from a young age to hate, and that they're racists, and that there's white privilege? Is that the reason that people died in World War I or World War II? Or if you dare to embrace your masculine drive and you want to date a girl, you know, and you say, I'm upset about all of this that's happening in your country, well, no, that's toxic masculinity. That's saying that you're toxic. You can't do that. You know, forget, you know, going out on a date and meeting a girl and being attracted to her, you know, and kissing her, I guess. I guess now you have to get, you know, four or five forms of triplicate signing that, you know, she wants to be kissed and you want to kiss her. Otherwise, you're basically exposing your toxic masculinity and you're doing sexual assault on her. You know, guys, it's so frustrating. I would not want to be young right now and have to deal with all of this. You know, I mean, the other night I was watching a movie with Sharon. It was an older movie, way back when, totally politically incorrect. This guy and this girl are talking. They got to know each other really well. And suddenly they're standing on a bridge in Paris and he kisses her. And I thought, wow, that's the way guys used to act. They used to kiss the girl. They used to be really wanting to have a relationship with a girl. And the girls really wanted to have a relationship with guys. And now it's like, nowadays they don't want to do that. They just want to text each other all the time or whatever, because they don't want to expose their toxic masculinity. You know, why has our culture embraced such evil? You know, how in the world have we become so utterly emasculated and have so many pacified men now? Why can't men just be guys? Well, they also started off with the show. You know, you put them on fluoride. It makes them servile. You know, you give them all this plastic and all these estrogen mimickers. You know, and you give them all of these chemicals in the diet that reduces their testosterone. And you make them more and more woman-like and girly mons. I mean, it's ridiculous. How in the world have we allowed ourselves to do this? Well, we didn't allow this, guys. The major pharmaceutical corporations and major chemical manufacturers, which are all controlled by the international banking cartels through interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases, have flooded the planet with these estrogen mimickers. And these estrogen mimickers and this fluoride and these chemicals have emasculated men. That's why they act like they're a bunch of women. And I'm not picking on the women, because I like women who act like women. But guys aren't supposed to act like women, all right? It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, Democrats now, they don't want to be friends with you anymore because you disagree with them politically. Somebody posted the other day that I had voted for both Bushes, that I was a Republican. I'm like, okay, so I'm openly telling you right now, here I am telling you that I voted Republican. I'm telling you right now, I'm telling everybody, this is because in case anybody misses this, I voted for George I before I knew that he was basically had been CIA. I voted for him. I voted for George II. the first time, not the second time, because he was such a disaster as a president. I did not vote for Barack Obama, and I voted for Trump. So, yeah, so if you want to point that out on social media that I've done that, that's true. I'm okay with that. Now, I have no idea why that's a big deal, because don't we all have the right to vote whoever we want to vote for? That's what I thought America was all about. But, you know, guys, think about it for a second. Why do we use social media to try to force people to comply with what we want, or to try to expose them on social media to have people start to generate whatever against this individual? Guys, this is the problem that we have. We've been emasculated, and we want to pretend like we're not Christians, or we want to pretend like we didn't vote conservative. Come on, guys, really? I mean, liberals, I mean, 61% of them think that you're a racist and sexist because of your politics. I mean, think about that for a second. 54% of them think that you're ignorant, and 21% of them think that you're just evil. That's one in five. And one in five Democrats think that you're evil for disagreeing with them. This 20% of the Democrats think you're evil because you don't share their same political views. I mean, think about it for a second. Every time there's a mass shooting, the left goes on TV and they try to use it to ban guns. But they don't take a look at the mothers of these young girls and the women who are raped and murdered by illegal immigrants on national television, basically to show how important border security is. They completely ignore all of this stuff. Nobody wants to talk about the degradation of our societal values and how the immigrants are not Americans, and they're coming in and bringing this type of philosophy into the United States. And I don't want to pick on Muslims, but Muslims are under Sharia law. And Muslims feel in their countries that they have a woman who's walking on the streets whose face isn't covered, that they're basically a whore, and you can walk up and fondle them and rape them if you want. It's happened in Germany so many times. I mean, that's what happens if you bring another culture into our culture, or you bring communists into our country, our culture. This is one of the reasons that the Democrats have pulled all these people in from the south of the border, because they were raised in these socialistic countries, and they wanted to vote Democrat, come in, and basically overwhelm the system and put a communist dictatorship into the United States. How's that working out in Seattle right now? You know, here's the thing. The whole idea of the American conservatism, you know, isn't that we had to be unified by ethnicity or race or by religion, but because we were united by our values. I'm going to repeat that. We have to be unified. We don't have to be unified by ethnicity or race or by religion, because we're unified by our values. We went ahead and failed to actually conserve those values or fight for those values because we were basically taught to be politically correct. And now we're based a country of 330 million people with no centralized identity or belief system. We don't have any trust in our institutions or our government. Everybody hates everybody in Washington. What, they have a less than 10% approval rate? And, you know, you look outside and we've got people rioting all over the country and cities burning this past couple of weeks. And you're kind of like, what the heck just happened? Why are we like this? But you got to remember, the media and the elites want us divided. And there's a reason for that, because the elites want to send the jobs and people overseas to line their own pockets, to make lower cost of goods, to make more money. They're the same people that profit off getting the population addicted to drugs and pornography. And they're the same people who profit by you hating your neighbor, running you into the court, pushing you through attorneys, convincing you to do that. They are people who need you to be distracted in order to maintain their power over you, both in government and in society. They don't want you to focus. They don't want to break into your house in the middle of the night and have you standing there with a 12-gauge shotgun, and you say to them, I knew you were coming tonight, and I'm ready for you. I'm prepared. Or like Grady Judd told us last week, if they break into your homes to steal or to loot or to set fires, I want you to use your guns and blow them back out of your house. They don't want us to be in a county like that or have a sheriff like that. And I found out yesterday that they're going to force another person to run against Grady Judd this time, because they don't feel it's fair that there's not a Democrat running against Grady Judd. They don't want to make it feel that's fair. So there's no telling what we're going to have as far as election politics and rhetoric in the media about Grady Judd this time, because we have a sheriff who actually defends our county. Okay, the country becomes more and more divided because the media, controlled by the international banking cartels, continue to preach division and racism. A divided country requires a bigger government to keep it from collapsing. This is typical pure Cloward Piven. And this is exactly what they've done through the Frankfurt School. It pushed it on every one of us living here today. And that's why we have this giant mess that's going on. And we say, what the heck? The country's on fire. hatred and bitterness and racism. I told everybody in this show back when Obama was president. Austin said the same thing. He is doing more to destroying race relations in the United States of America with that crazy Trayvon Martin incident with Zimmerman than any other president has ever done in the history of the country. And now we see this. And here we had everything in his cabinet pretty much. And I'm okay with that. All right? I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't like his ideals. And I didn't like the fact that he was the gay canyon or he was married to a transgender, according to Joan Rivers. I don't like any of that. Okay? But it was like, oh, well, we elected him, and so we got to deal with this for 8 years now. And then we watched the country go down the slippery slope of hell with all the crazy stuff, like that men could use the bathroom with little girls. And we all had enough. And then Trump came in with nationalism and says, hey, look, I want to make America great again. It's enough of this. And now they're using the very words that he used against him to destroy nationalism. They've rendered him powerless to do much of anything in the White House. He's forced to use tweets all the time, which sometimes don't even make any sense or cause further division. And that he can be used as a caricature against nationalism. And here we are. Here we find ourselves in an election year. We're about to have another COVID experience. More and more shutdown. Some states aren't opened all the way back up yet. Wanting you to wear masks at theme parks. And you wonder, where did America go? Guys, our America has been leaving and walking out the door for the past 60 years. It has. Ever since we decided to take prayer out of school and conservative values out of the schools and conservative values out of the workplace. And then we decided to go ahead and open the coffers to, you know, as fund with $500 million a year Planned Parenthood to murder children. Did you really think that God didn't take a pay attention to that? Do you really think the great I Am didn't know that that was going on in our country? And we sat back and did nothing to stop it. Did you really think that this was going to continue and nobody's going to pay any attention? I mean, did you really think we could degrade our values and not stand up for the Word of God and not teach Jesus and Christ crucified in our churches and not have anybody notice that the country was deteriorating from a moral standpoint? And put preachers in the pulpit who preach prosperity. I don't believe there's a thing wrong with Christians being blessed, but all they care about is telling you about how if you give me money, you'll be blessed. Did you really think that wasn't going to affect the fundamental foundational structure of the United States and Christian values? Did you really think that having a pastor with 25 mansions and a fleet of private jets running these massive corporations worth $4 or $5 billion wasn't going to affect his motives for doing what he did? Did you really think that was going to happen? And here we are. And yet we can't even get the small church pastors to say anything. Why? Because of debt. You know, the churches don't need gigantic mausoleums to preach in. They don't need facilities that hold 20 or 30 or 40,000 people. They don't need stadiums. They need in-home groups and orchestrated leadership broken down through the scale of person. One person has 10, who has 10, who has 10, who has 10, who has 10. You know, and then everybody goes from the top to the bottom teaching the same curriculum, the same program, teaching people how to be real Christians, teaching repentance, teaching love, teaching mentorship. That's what we need is Christianity. We got to go back to the fundamental foundations that caused the United States to be the United States of America. And this is before the Masonic nonsense took over here. All the stuff with Washington and all the rest of them. Now they want to take down all the Washington monuments. Now, I can tell you what, guys. If you think you're going to pull the Washington Monument down, that giant phallic symbol in Washington, D.C., with all these people in charge who basically are Kabbalists, you could have another thing coming. This is never going to be done legally, let me put it that way, or the Jefferson stuff. It's not going to come out. It's not going to come down, or the Lincoln stuff. It's not going to come down. Remember, they're not going to take these things down, these edifices, these groups, these giant Kabbalist Masonic groups. They're not going to take any stuff down. We're the statues of Christ. Not that I believe in worshiping statues. We're the photos of Christ. Where are the disciples depicted in Washington, D.C.? They've got 72 of these gods up in that big thing they've got up in the Capitol building, these pictures of them. They represent the 72 fallen angels, by the way, out of the book of Enoch. All this Masonic mess. And so I want to, again, praise Trump for posting that Archbishop's letter, how the Masonic lodges are involved in doing all of this stuff. Because remember, in the Catholic Church, it used to be illegal to be a member of a secret society. And they changed all that in the 50s and the 60s. They changed it. They changed it because they wanted to continue to corrupt the Catholic churches because they want to use the Catholic banks as a money laundering system, the Vatican Bank, to run us, to put drug money through. It all goes back to that heroin and those drugs coming out of the Vietnam area, the Cambodian triangle, and also Afghanistan now. Think about where we are as a country and as a nation, and that we've allowed these groups, these outside subversive groups, to come in now and put us to this point and repent and ask Jesus Christ to come back into this country and stand firm in your beliefs. Don't compromise yourself. Don't do that. Tell everyone that you're a Christian and that they'll know us because we love one another. Try as the best as you possibly can to walk in love. Now, I realize sometimes that ain't possible. I got that. Because sometimes people just really attack you for stuff they shouldn't do. But guys, you know, as far as me and my house, like, I'm going to repeat what Jeremiah said. Not Jeremiah. I think it may have been, I try to quote these scriptures out of things. It was out of the Old Testament. It says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's how we all have to feel. Austin, what do you think, bud?
Well, it's well said. And I mean, it's frustrating to see what has happened with the local churches, exactly what you said, and how they've intentionally restricted them, made them submit to essentially this governmental control. I mean, we already see it down here in Florida. I mean, perfect example. You can't go have more than 100 people in a church service now in big churches down here in Florida. I mean, I got notified. The one church that I support a lot that I've taken the kids to, they said, hey, we're doing 3 services, but we only allow 100 people per service, and you have to RSVP, and you have to sign in when you get there. You have to basically contact trace and put your information down so they can monitor everything you do and when you go there. Just what they basically implied. But yet, there's people down in Lakeland 2 weeks ago that were protesting, 2,000-3,000 people in downtown Lakeland by Memorial. There wasn't a single person that came out there and said, you guys can't do this, as far as you gotta sign in so we can contact trace, you know. But they finally got so unruly, the sheriff's department went out there and started shooting tear gas at them, which, I mean, they had to. It was literally minutes from turning into a full-blown riot looting fest. But then same thing in, like, Vegas now. Vegas is open again. Casinos are open again. They finally came out and they said, Vegas is back up and running. We're open for business. The casinos are open. And then they turn around and they said, and churches, though, however, cannot have more than 50 people in churches in Nevada. Wait, what? So you can go in there, you can slosh chips around, you can sit on bar stools, you can sit beside people and play poker, which, I mean, if that's what you want to do, whatever. But you can't have more than 50 people going to church, but you can flood the casino to go gamble. You guys see the contradiction there? And again, that's exactly what we have going on. And I mean, I'm planning, unless something happens grossly different, with I'm working on my house, I'm getting my final hopefully today. But this Sunday, our church is finally open down here. And they said you can have 100 people, exactly what I'm referencing to. You have to sign in. I plan on going there on Sunday, but I'm not signing in, nor am I RSVPing. I do not have to give permission, nor do I have to give acknowledgement that I'm going somewhere. I can travel freely on my way. And last time I checked, churches and separation of church and state, there is no clause in there about, hey, you guys can go to church whenever you want, but if there's a fake pandemic, you gotta kind of sign in so we can monitor who actually goes to church here. I've never seen that in the Constitution. I've never even seen anything remotely implied like that anywhere in the Bill of Rights or Constitution. So that's what you have to ask yourself is, what are they doing to you, and is it okay? And my opinion is it's no. So I will keep you guys apprised on what happens Monday. I'm curious to see what's going to happen on Sunday. I want to see if they are truly going to say to me, no, you are not allowed to come in this facility because you have not signed in. I really am curious to see if they're going to do that. I hope that they do not go to that level. I'm hoping it's more of a keep the local county, you know, CDC, so forth, happy. So we're basically putting that out there publicly, but they're not going to care. I really hope so. Because if you can have 2,000-3,000 people in downtown Lakeland protesting borderline rioting and not a single comment is made by law enforcement or mainstream media about social distancing at all, zero. Not a single reference in Florida, not a single reference in Lakeland, not a single reference anywhere in the entire country right now about people grouping into tens of thousands like we saw in downtown L.A. what last week. There was tens of thousands of people shoulder to shoulder protesting. Okay, but you can only have 50 people in church in Nevada, and we have 100 people in church in Florida. What does that say about this country? So again, I encourage everybody, continue to wake up to what's going on. Because, I mean, they're already saying now, a lot of these companies that are basically back up and running with food production, they're already saying now, listen, if we have another COVID outbreak, we have to shut back down again. Well, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's about to happen with food. We already had a huge, huge shortage with everything that happened a couple months ago. And it's going to have a significant problem by the time we get to winter. Now we're probably about to have another shutdown again because they want to see how far the American populace will let it go. That's why I told you guys down here, but my lifestyle hasn't changed. I'm working. We're involved every single day. You have not seen us shut down a day. I'm at Lowe's every day getting parts and material and stuff to finish this house. I'm going out and about. Why? Because last time I checked, this is still a free country. And until the Bill of Rights and Constitution is changed and ratified completely that says you can do pretty much anything you please as long as it doesn't involve other people. But if you have a pandemic, you're not allowed to do things because we said so. That's completely different. And the whole adage and the whole argument that I saw from the leftists, and this is what's funny because everybody seemed to have forgotten about this, you know, just a month and a half ago, we have leftists coming out and saying, it's for the greater good. You're basically endangering people's lives if you go outside and don't wear a mask. You're endangering other people if you don't stay at home. This is all your fault. If you don't do that, you're spreading the virus. Well, now the exact same people are saying you have to get out there and protest because we have to make a difference and change. But a month ago they were saying you can't do this and you can't go here and you can't do this or else you are basically a horrible person. You need to be arrested. So which one is it, guys? Pick your poison. Why don't you make up your own mind and stick with it? That is the prime example of somebody that has no conviction. And somebody that has no conviction is somebody that you should never listen to, in my opinion. Thank you again for the support. Be sure to check out the website if you need anything. Health Masters, we're here to help you guys out the best we possibly can. Keep your immune system strong, keep your energy high, to keep your mental acuity as good as possible right now. Continue to exercise, take your supplements, keep your immune system strong. I told you guys before, microdose with the vitamin C multiple times a day will massively keep your immune system elevated. And be sure to check it out because the vitamin C is on sale now for product of the week. You guys enjoy your night. Have a blessed, safe weekend. We'll talk to you again on this show on Monday, and I will be on the Hagman Show tonight with more stuff to discuss with Doug. Have a blessed evening. I'll talk to you guys later.